Good afternoon. Welcome to Oremus Communications Internet Radio. This is Emily Osmond and Jane Aniceto from the Legion of Mary, Wilmington, Delaware, Curia, United States of America. Today is May 15th, 2020, the feast day of Saint Isidore. Last Wednesday, 2 days ago, was the feast of Our Lady of Fatima. So we will talk about these two feasts today after we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Before we pray the chaplet, let us first reflect on the power of a grateful heart from Saint Faustina's diary. If you were to examine the content of your prayer life over the past month, what would you see? Hopefully, there would be many moments to surrender, intercession, praise, and adoration. And hopefully, there were also many moments in which your prayer consisted of deep thanksgiving to God, being grateful, truly grateful, and expressing that gratitude in prayer is powerful. We have so much to be grateful for, and yet, so often, we become more focused on our problems than on the countless blessings God has bestowed upon us. Even in the midst of life's darkest hour, there is much that a holy soul can find to be grateful for. Offering prayers of gratitude to God with much sincerity has the potential to lift our spirits to the heights of authentic spiritual joy. What are you grateful for? Better put, in what ways has God blessed you in abundance? If you are not immediately aware of your blessings from God, that is a good sign that you may need to spend more time counting your blessings. It's good to keep our eyes on the innumerable blessings God has bestowed upon us, to see them, name them, and be joyful in them. The more we see them, the more we grow in gratitude. And the more we grow in gratitude, the more we are blessed. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you with profound gratitude for the countless blessings in my life. Help me to daily become more aware of those blessings and to be grateful for them. Help me to see that life itself as a gift, and that you are active in my life day and night. Help me to specially see these blessings when life is hard or when burden weighs me down. May I be filled with a grateful heart and always rejoice in your goodness. Jesus, I trust in you. Let us now pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of this sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Jane?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Okay. Since last Wednesday was May 13, that was actually the feast of Our Lady of Fatima. And as May is the month of Mary, we thought that we would, talk about the Lady of Fatima story. So, like I said, May 13 was the anniversary of the apparition of Our Lady to the three shepherd children in the small village of Fatima in Portugal in 1917. She appeared six times to Lucia, aged 9, and her cousins Francisco, age 8, and his sister Jacinta, age 6, between May 13, 1917, and October 13, 1917. The story of Fatima begins in 1916, when against the backdrop of the First World War, which had introduced Europe to the most horrific and powerful forms of warfare yet seen, and a year before the Communist Revolution would plunge Russia and later Eastern Europe into six decades of oppression under militant aesthetic governments, a resplendent figure appeared to the three children who were in the field tending the family sheep. in quotes, "I am the angel of peace," close quote, said the figure, who appeared to them two more times that year, exhorting them to accept the sufferings that the Lord allowed them to undergo as an act of reparation for the sins which offend him, and to pray constantly for the conversion of sinners. Then, on the 13th day of the month of Our Lady, May 1917, an apparition of a woman all in white, more brilliant than the sun, presented itself to the three children, saying, "Please do not be afraid of me. I am not going to harm you." Lucia asked her where she came from, and she responded, "I come from heaven." The woman wore a white mantle edged with gold and held a rosary in her hand. The woman asked them to pray and devote themselves to the Holy Trinity and to say the rosary every day to bring peace to the world and an end to the war. She also revealed that the children would suffer especially from the unbelief of their friends and families, and that the two younger children, Francisco and Jacinta, would be taken to heaven very soon, but Lucia would live longer in order to spread her message and devotion to the Immaculate Heart. In the last apparition, the woman revealed her name in response to Lucia's question, "I am the Lady of the Rosary." That same day, 70,000 people had turned out to witness the apparition, following a promise by the woman that she would show the people that the apparitions were true. The greatest miracle to occur since the resurrection is also the only one ever precisely predicted as to date, time of day, and location of Our Lady of Fatima. Although it is popularly known as the miracle of the sun, and October 13, 1917 has come to be known as the day the sun danced, a great deal more took place. Emily, can you let us know what occurred during the miracle of the sun event?
Yes, the solar phenomena included the dancing of the sun, its fluctuations in color, its swirling and its descending toward the earth. There was also the stillness in the leaves of the trees in spite of howling winds, the complete drying of the rain-soaked ground, and the restoration of clothes all wet and covered with mud, so that, as eyewitness Dominic Reyes put it, they looked as though they had just come back from the cleaners. Physical cures of the blind and the lame were reported. The countless unreserved public confessions of sin and commitments to conversion of life attest to the authenticity of what they saw. The miracle is reported to have been seen from as far as 15 to 25 miles away, thus ruling out the possibility of any type of collective hallucination or mass hypnotism. Doubters and skeptics had become believers. Even Oseculo's chief editor, Avelino D. Almeida, now reported affirmatively and stood by his story later on in spite of harsh criticism.
Wow. Okay, so by 1930, the bishop had approved of the apparitions, and they have been approved by the church as authentic. The messages Our Lady imparted during the apparitions to the children concerned the violent trials that would afflict the world by means of war, starvation, and the persecution of the church and the Holy Father in the 20th century if the world did not make reparation for sins. She exhorted the church to pray and offer sacrifices to God in order that peace may come upon the world and that trials may be averted. So there were more, right? There were more things revealed to the children during these apparitions. Yes. Can you let us know that, Emily?
Yes, right. Our Lady of Fatima revealed three prophetic secrets. The first two refer to the vision of hell and the souls languishing there, the request for an ardent devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the prediction of the Second World War, and finally, the prediction of the immense damage that Russia would do to humanity by abandoning the Christian faith and embracing communist totalitarianism. The third secret was not revealed until the year 2000 and referred to the persecutions that humanity would undergo in the last century. The good will be martyred. The Holy Father will have much to suffer. Various nations will be annihilated. The suffering of the popes of the 20th century has been interpreted to include the assassination attempt on Pope John Paul II in 1981, which took place on May 13th, the 64th anniversary of the apparitions. The Holy Father attributed his escape from certain death to the intervention of Our Lady. It was a mother's hand that guided the bullet's path, and in his throes, the Pope halted at the threshold of death.
So, what really is the central meaning of the message of Fatima? Nothing different from what the Church has always taught us. It is, as Cardinal Ratzinger then, who became Pope Benedict XVI, has put it, the exhortation to prayer as the path of salvation for souls, and likewise, the summons to penance and conversion. Perhaps the most well-known utterance of the apparition of Our Lady at Fatima was her confident declaration that, "My Immaculate Heart will triumph." Pope Benedict has interpreted this utterance as follows. The heart open to God, purified by contemplation of God, is stronger than guns and weapons of every kind. The fiat of Mary, the word of her heart, has changed the history of the world because it brought the Savior into the world, because thanks to her yes, God could become man in our world and remain so for all time. The evil one has power in this world, as we see and experience continually. He has power because our freedom continually lets itself be led away from God. But since God himself took a human heart and has thus steered human freedom towards what is good, the freedom to choose evil no longer has the word. From that time forth, the word that prevails is this: in the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The message of Fatima invites us to trust in this promise, especially during these pandemic times. Our Lady of Fatima is truly relevant to our current times. So the Church has learned valuable lessons from the Fatima apparitions the world needs now, according to Tom Hoops of the Gregorian Institute. Lesson one, Fatima keeps demanding to be noticed. What happened in Fatima, Portugal, keeps asserting itself into the life of the Church. Pope Francis proposed the Fatima visionaries to be models for the whole Church in 2017, and Saint Jacinto Marto died in lockdown during the Spanish flu pandemic of 1920, exactly 100 years before the COVID-19 pandemic began locking down our world. The truth is, God is outside of time, so when he allows heaven to break into our world, it is eternally relevant. Lesson two, fidelity is greater than prosperity. Our Lady came to shepherd children who lived in worse circumstances than we can imagine. Saints Francisco and Jacinta Marto and Lucia dos Santos lived without central air or modern sanitation, without proper medical care. Penicillin hadn't been invented yet, and in economic uncertainty and political instability. But when Our Lady came to them, she didn't give them any of those things. Instead, she asked for them to pray the rosary every day, properly, and bear all the sufferings God sends you, in atonement of the sins that offend him and for the conversion of sinners. In the pandemic of 2020, a lot of us are terribly worried about our health and the health of the economy. We should be. But Our Lady of Fatima gently reminds us that we should be even more worried about our fidelity to God. Lesson 3. War is an image and consequence of sin. On one terrible day in July, the shepherd children got a harsh lesson in the realities of life. Our Lady showed them what hell is like and warned of war if sinners don't repent. The fact is that human beings are made in the image and likeness of God, and when we disrespect each other and ourselves, we disrespect God. Since sin breeds more sin in an escalating disaster, it isn't long before sin bears fruit in a terrible strife. Damnation is the ultimate result of our opposition to God's image. But we hear echoes of hell in all strife, including domestic violence and racial hatred. Lesson 4. God longs for us. It is easy to get the wrong idea about Fatima. The children hear how God is much offended by us and wants to see penance. But think of why that might be. When a mother sees children disrespecting their father and destroying the things he gave them, she should say exactly what Our Lady of Fatima said to the world in 1917. Their behavior isn't just disobedience, it's a heartbreaking rejection of love. If God disliked us, he would shrug off our self-destruction, but he longs for our love, so his mother urges us to return to him. Then, last lesson, lesson 5, family prayer can reshape the world. Children can change the world is a repeated motif in the Fatima Family Handbook of Tom Hoops of the Gregorian Institute, who wrote for Holy Heroes. This is something children instinctively know, but which often leads to misplaced activism. Children will not change the world by their policy advice or peer pressure or by the power of their own witness, however effective those might sometimes be. They will change the world by the 3 C's of Fatima: consoling God through prayer, converting sinners through sacrifice, and committing themselves to Jesus through Mary in the Rosary. In fact, the Fatima children have already reshaped the world this way. The prayer they added to the Rosary stopped the spread of communism. Their example led generations of Catholics to offer things up for others, and they sparked a revolution of Marian consecration worldwide. The Feast of Our Lady of Fatima is on the church calendar to remind us that their work isn't done. So now, to end this section of our broadcast, let's pray to Our Lady of Fatima. Our Lady of Fatima, Queen of the Holy Rosary, you have deigned to come to Fatima to reveal to the 3 shepherd children the treasures of grace hidden in the Rosary. Instead, inspire our hearts with a sincere love of this devotion, in order that meditating on the mysteries of our redemption, which are recalled in it, we may be enriched with its fruits and obtain peace for the world, the conversion of sinners, and the favor which we ask of you, specifically the healing of all who are ill-afflicted physically, emotionally, financially, but most of all spiritually, including those who have been infected by the coronavirus, the protection of the rest of the world from contamination and the desire for the end of this pandemic. We ask this for the greater glory of God, for your own honor, and for the good of souls, especially for our own. Amen.
Amen. That was those are good lessons.
Yeah.
You should
just be reminded that, you know, prayer is powerful. And if you devote prayer to the Fatima, she'll come and help us. So
yes.
Let's continue doing that.
Okay, next I will talk about Saint Isidore, the farmer. First I want to thank Aunt Courtney for introducing us to Saint Isidore. He's not a very well-known saint, but we always pray for his intercession before we do our broadcast. So we thank him, and we pray to him.
Okay.
He's the saint of the day today, May 15th. Saint Isidore has become the patron of farmers and rural communities. In particular, he is the patron of Madrid, Spain, and of the United States National Rural Life Conference. Well, that's the first time I've heard about that. When he was barely old enough to wield a hoe, Isidore entered the service of John de Vergas, a wealthy landowner from Madrid, and worked faithfully on his estate outside the city for the rest of his life. He married a young woman as simple and upright as himself, who also became a saint. It's Saint Maria de la Cabeza. They had one son who died as a child. Saint Isidore had deep religious instinct. He rose early in the morning to go to church and spent many a holiday devoutly visiting the churches of Madrid and surrounding areas. All day long, as he walked behind the plow, he communed with God. His devotion, one might say, became a problem, for his fellow workers sometimes complained that he often showed up late because of lingering in church too long. That's fun. He was known for his love for the poor. There are accounts of Isidore supplying them miraculously with food. He had a great concern for the proper treatment of animals. I heard today from Father Joseph Murphy. From
it's
EWTN.
Joseph Mary.
Yeah, from EWTN. He said that one time his wife was saying, we have no more food to give to the poor. And then he said, just open up the cupboard, and there was more food. It was a miracle. He died.
I that was the first time I heard that also.
Yeah.
That's great. God came and made another miracle.
Yes.
For him. Yeah.
He died May 15, 1130, and was declared a saint in 1622 with Saints Ignatius of Loyola, Francis Xavier, Teresa of Avila, and Philip Neri. Together, the group is known in Spain as the Five Saints. Wow.
Right. Wow.
Okay. Reflection. A short reflection. Many implications can be found in a simple laborer achieving sainthood. Physical labor has dignity. Sainthood does not stem from status. Contemplation does not depend on learning. The simple life is conducive to holiness and happiness. Legends about angel helpers and mysterious oxen indicate that his work was not neglected and his duties did not go unfulfilled. Perhaps the truth which emerges is this: if you have your spiritual self in order, your earthly commitments will fall into order also. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, said the carpenter from Nazareth, Jesus, and all these things will be given to you besides.
I like that. If you have your spiritual self in order, your earthly commitments will fall into order also. Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
You know, sometimes you just, it just happens and you're like, oh, wow. You know, it could be a miracle.
Yes.
You know, that's good. I like that statement. Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. He is the Saint Isidore is the patron of farmers and laborers and hard workers, I think. Okay.
Very nice.
Okay, so we will pray the Tessera, and Jane will lead.
I will lead?
Yes. Do you want to lead? You want me to lead?
Only because I don't have it in front of me right now.
Okay, we will pray the Catena Legionis then. Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? My soul glorifies the Lord.
My spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
He looks on his servant in her lowliness. Henceforth, all ages will call me blessed.
The Almighty works marvels for me. Holy his name.
His mercy is from age to age on those who fear him.
He puts forth his arm in strength and scatters the proud-hearted.
He casts the mighty from their thrones and raises the lowly.
He fills the starving with good things, sends the rich away empty.
He protects Israel, his servant, remembering his mercy.
The mercy promised to our fathers, to Abraham and his sons forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to you.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator with the Father, you have been pleased to appoint the most blessed Virgin, your mother, to be our mother also, and our mediatrix with you. Mercifully grant that whoever comes to you seeking your favors may rejoice to receive all of them through her. Amen.
Amen.
Concluding prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Amen.
We fly to your patronage, O Holy Mother of God. Despise not our prayers in our necessities, but ever deliver us from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Mary Immaculate, Mediatrix of all graces,
pray for us.
Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael,
pray for us.
All you heavenly powers, Mary's legion of angels,
pray for us.
Saint John the Baptist,
pray for us.
Saints Peter and Paul,
pray for us.
Confer, O Lord, on us who serve beneath the standard of Mary, that fullness of faith in you and trust in her, to which it is given to conquer the world. Grant us a lively faith, animated by charity, which will enable us to perform all our actions from the motive of pure love of you, and ever to see you and serve you in our neighbor. A faith firm and immovable as a rock, through which we shall rest tranquil and steadfast amid the crosses, toils, and disappointments of life. A courageous faith which will inspire us to undertake and carry out without hesitation great things for your glory and for the salvation of souls. A faith which will be our legion's pillar of fire, to lead us forth united, to kindle everywhere the fires of divine love, to enlighten those who are in darkness and in the shadow of death, to inflame those who are lukewarm, to bring back life to those who are dead in sin, and which will guide our own feet in the way of peace, so that the battle of life over, our legion may reassemble without the loss of anyone in the kingdom of your love and glory. Amen.
Amen.
May the souls of our departed legionaries and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Jane, you're,
yes?
We will pray the prayers for protection against the coronavirus, right?
Okay, yes. Do you want me to lead that?
Yes, please.
Okay. We're going to start with Pope Francis's prayer to Mary during the coronavirus pandemic and the desire to end this. Oh, Mary, you always shine on our path as a sign of salvation and of hope. We entrust ourselves to you, health of the sick, who at the cross took part in Jesus' pain, keeping your faith firm. You, salvation of your people, know what we need, and we are sure you will provide so that, as in Cana of Galilee, we may return to joy and to feasting after this time of trial. Help us, Mother of Divine Love, to conform to the will of the Father and to do as we are told by Jesus, who has taken upon himself our sufferings and carried our sorrows to lead us through the cross to the joy of the resurrection.
Amen.
Amen. Under your protection, we seek refuge, Holy Mother of God. Do not disdain the entreaties of we who are in trial, but deliver us from every danger, O glorious and blessed Virgin.
Amen.
Amen. And now we're going to pray to the Holy Trinity for the same purpose. Heavenly Father, loving and merciful God, we worship you and adore you. In faith, we come before you, asking for mercy and forgiveness for our sins against you and your creation. In this time of anxiety and distress, we lift up to you the COVID-19 situation throughout the world. Father, we beg you to halt the spread of this disease and to grant healing and comfort to those afflicted. Please cover everyone with the precious blood of your Son, Jesus, and protect all of us, especially those in the medical field, from any infection and harm. Lord Jesus, we beseech you to grant your grace to government leaders and medical experts with wisdom and knowledge to combat the spread of COVID-19 and to find a cure for it. Holy Spirit, please breathe peace and new life into everyone. May you grace us with a strong sense of social responsibility to do the necessary and to be prudent and considerate in our actions. Bless all people to work together as one family of God and to be compassionate to one another.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jane. Before we end, may I make some announcements? The church, St. Mary of the Assumption, we are live streaming our masses on our website, which is smachurch.com. It's at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. So that's one thing. And also, I would also want to mention the 8 p.m. Rosary from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. It's you can find the link. It's a Zoom meeting, and we pray the rosary about maybe about 2,000 households call in to join the rosary.
And you That's
can,
great.
Yeah, you can find the link in Philly Evange. It's philleyevang.org/rosary. So that's a good thing. Do you have anything to share, Jay?
No, not really. I'm just hoping that we would already open on June 1. I mean, we're waiting with bated breath. All the people we have called, the elderly parishioners on behalf of Father Dillingham and our church, have all stated that they are longing to come back to church. But of course, they're afraid, but they miss going to church. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing that they do.
Yeah.
So we hope that by the time this pandemic is over, that most of us would be changed to become more prayerful and more spiritual and more looking to God for guidance instead of, you know, doing other things that are not godlike.
Yes, true. Oh, yeah. There's one more thing. The church here in Avondale. Oh, I think it's Avondale. It's St. Gabriel of the Sorrowful Mother. They're open a few days a week from in the afternoon, 12 to 3, just for adoration, which is very good. It's Tuesday, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays from 12 to 3. They're open.
They also have... don't they also have confessions?
Yeah, on Saturdays, from 3 to 4, they have a drive-through confession.
Very good.
And that's for those who are nearby and listening, they could probably do that. Okay, so that's it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We welcome your comments. Send them via email to legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. I repeat, it's legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. We would like to acknowledge the following who made this broadcast possible. Father Charles Dillingham, our pastor from St. Mary of the Assumption Church in Hocasin, Delaware. AJ Loporto, who provided the music, and all the members of the Legion of Mary Wilmington Curia. Thank you, and please listen again next Friday at 3 p.m. And may God's abundant blessing be upon all of you. Thank you.
Amen.